This morning's scripture reading is from Psalm 22. As I said, we'll read the concluding verses of Psalm 22 for our scripture reading, beginning with verse 25. Psalm 22, beginning with verse 25. I offer praise in the great congregation because of you. I will fulfill my promises in the presence of those who honor God. Let all those who are suffering eat and be full. Let all who seek the Lord praise him. I pray your hearts live forever. Every part of the earth will remember and come back to the Lord. Every family among all the nations will worship you, because the right to rule belongs to the Lord. He rules all nations. Indeed, all the earth's powerful will worship him. All who are descending to the dust will kneel before him. My being also lives for him. Further descendants will serve him. Generations to come will be told about my Lord. They will proclaim God's righteousness to those not yet born, telling them what God has done. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Do you ever wonder what kind of questions the disciples must have asked Jesus in between everything we have recorded in the Gospels? I mean, the obvious questions may be, how do you turn that water into wine? How do you know there was going to be enough food for everybody? Why did you call that guy to follow you? A couple of weeks ago, we heard them asking Jesus to teach them to pray. What kind of questions might have they had during the Q&A session following that lesson on praying? What would you have asked after hearing Jesus' model prayer? We might not know where to start with that specific prayer since we're so familiar with it, but what kind of questions do you have in general about praying? Specific how-to questions. Here are some I've heard and maybe even asked myself a few times. How long do you pray? How long do you wait for a response when you're praying about something? Do you pray the whole time you're waiting? Well, here's some questions the Master might ask us. What does waiting do to your praying? Or what does your praying do to your waiting? What does either one of those, praying or waiting, what do they do to change you? What happens? How would you answer those questions? What does waiting have to do with your praying? And what does praying have to do with how you wait? How does praying or waiting, how does that change you? In general, waiting is not usually a strong suit of any of us. Nothing makes time stand still like waiting for something to happen. The bigger whatever it is you're waiting for, the slower time seems to move. We're all anxious to move beyond waiting. We want to arrive and get what we want. We want to arrive where we want to be. There's such great joy in arriving at our destination or the arrival of something that has been long awaited for. Until then, waiting has a way of being disorienting, a way of making a familiar place no longer look like itself, maybe even making you unrecognizable from what you feel and know to be your better self. Gone is the familiar assurance, the calm presence, and the contentment of heart and soul. Instead, we're overtaken with uncertainty, anxiety, or fear, doubting even the presence or love of God. It's easy to see how waiting can and often does change us, but not always in ways that are for the better. As Dr. Seuss reminds us, much of our time is spent in the waiting place, waiting for a train to go, or a bus to come, or a plane to go, or the mail to come, or the rain to go, or the phone to ring, or the snow to snow, or waiting around for a yes or no, or waiting for their hair to grow. Everyone is just waiting. waiting for the fish to bite, or waiting for the wind to fly a kite, or waiting around for Friday night, or waiting perhaps for their Uncle Jake, or a pot to boil, or better break, or a string of pearls, or a pair of pants, or a wig with curls, or another chance. Everybody is just waiting. Since Bible times, people have found themselves in the seemingly holding pattern of waiting, that waiting place. Abraham waited for a son, as did Hannah. The Israelites waited for deliverance. Jesus waited in the tomb for the dawn of resurrection morning. So how can we overcome the spiritual collateral damage of being in the waiting place? Can praying have anything to do with that? We all know that adding anything to our waiting can become even more overwhelming. Ask the disciples who did not stay awake long enough to wait and pray with Jesus in the garden. Ask Jamie Wright, who tells her story as a young mother in her honest, soul-bearing article entitled, "My Life as a Bad Christian." She says that it was the whole quiet time thing that pushed her over the edge. In case you're unfamiliar with it, in some circles that quiet time is a code for prayer. Her issue was with three young children. When was she supposed to have quiet time? What she needed was to know God was present with her in the chaos, in the noise and the silliness of her life. She was told that it was as simple as getting up a little earlier. You can sleep when you're dead. In her sleep-deprived boldness, she responded that she would also have plenty of quiet time with God when she was dead. While praying can and does change the time we spend waiting for something, it is not intended to make our waiting more of a burden. How can we pray in such a way that makes our waiting more bearable, more productive, a time in which we are changed by the wait in a way that prepares us for what is coming next, whatever it is, and whenever it might arrive? You see, while it may seem like waiting puts everything, especially your life, on hold, something is happening, or something can be happening, while you wait. While you may think you're waiting for something to begin to happen, it could already be happening, and you could be happening too. That's Dr. Seuss again, in case you're wondering. Praying might widen our awareness, letting you see more clearly what is already happening while you're waiting. Praying might offer you a perspective that sees beyond the fears and the doubts that cloud your vision of the future. Praying can restore your hope. Praying might let you see the presence of God at work in the waiting. Praying might give you a clearer perspective of time, assuring you that this waiting, it's not going to last forever. Prayer can give you assurance that God will have the last word, and that is a word to which you can look forward and in which you can already begin to rejoice. Take today's scripture reading from Psalm 22, for instance. This is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. Its opening words, my God, why have you forsaken me?" echo like the pounding of the hammer from the cross on Good Friday. Jesus was known to have prayed all night, sometimes 40 days. How long do you think he prayed when he started praying this psalm on the cross? Do you think Jesus, Jewish rabbi, prayed only the opening verse of the psalm? I can't even imagine Jesus stopping there. Not when he knew full well today's verses loomed at the conclusion of the psalm. Psalm 22 ends not in despair of abandonment, but rejoicing in God's presence, a presence known not only to the psalmist, but to everyone, every nation, everyone living, everyone dead, and those not even born yet. I can't imagine Jesus starting a prayer that he had to know was headed to this kind of joy and conclusion and stopping after the first line. I think he probably prayed the whole prayer. I think Jesus prayed this psalm to the glorious end. I think praying's prayer transported his soul from the depths of abandonment to the heights of praise. Like most psalms, Psalm 22 is not a still life scene, portraying only the agony of the ancient psalmist or Christ breathing his last on the cross. Instead, the psalm exhibits a drama, an inner movement that transports the reader to a new place, an unanticipated destination. The reader is taken on a pilgrimage from sorrow to joy, from desolation to hope, from cross to glory. A drama of an inner movement that transports the reader to a new place, an unanticipated destination. It's not only a good description of this psalm, it's also a good description of praying. Praying while you're waiting, letting that prayer move you. Prayer is realizing that every pause, every wait, every unseemingly uneventful hour is shot through with the sacred presence of God. Even this waiting is filled with hope, and prayer opens our waiting to see that more clearly. Drama, an inner movement that transports us to a new place. That describes Psalm 22 and prayer. It might even be a good description for life itself. Life is never really at a standstill, is it? There is always drama, an inner movement that wants to transport us to a new place. The question is whether we allow ourselves to be taken there, not only by praying, but by life. Taken to where the Spirit wants us to go next. Maybe all of life is to be a prayer and is to be lived with an awareness of God's presence in every moment, even in the waiting. Life is to be lived with a sense of time that extends beyond the confines and circumstances of this moment. Lived with rejoicing anticipation of what is yet to break forth, from the newness of the days yet to come. Last Sunday, Minnie Mouse introduced us to Simba, the Lion King. We talked about the motto of some mutual friends, Timon and Pumbaa. Do you remember the motto? It was that catchy tune, Hakuna Matata. What a wonderful phrase, Hakuna Matata. Ain't no passing praise. It means no worries for the rest your days. It's all problem-free philosophy. Hakuna Matata. Do you have a motto for your life? A phrase that sums up how you see your life and how you live it? In closing, I want to suggest a motto. A motto for our lives that emerges from the Psalms. A phrase that describes life when we see it more clearly. It happens to be a Latin phrase. Want to say anything important, you should say it in Latin, right? The phrase is this, vota vita mea. Vota vita mea. It means my life a prayer. Remember it. Write it down. Make it your motto. Let it be how you see your life. Vota vita mea. My life a prayer. Live your life a prayer, waiting in awe, letting life transport you ever toward that new place, your new dawning day that waits in the promises of God, a place of your fullest joy. Amen.